What's going on, my friends? Welcome on into another edition of the What's Put It in the Books show. What's going on, Rodriguez? I'm Steve. It's just the two of us for right now, but that's
more than enough. More than you can handle, actually. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Just to be honest.
For you guys out there. It's a fact. All right. So Rodriguez, how's it been hanging? You know, we took All-Star Week off last week. We enjoyed the festivities.
We did.
Kind of.
Well, we did. Come on. It's nice to see the All-Star game, you know. Nice to see that Senga made it, and you know, Polar Bear is always there. Good to see that.
But I feel like Polar Bear getting selected to the All-Star game made him the butt of a lot of jokes right now, because it's the 205 first baseman and our all-star.
Oh, what? He's the only one in baseball that's batting? Come on.
That's the butt of jokes. Not. Randy Hitz, what's up?
Please.
All right. So obviously we have a ton to talk about. you like that name?
Hello.
Obviously. Ton of stuff to talk about. The season resumed on Friday. We played the Dodgers. We played the White Sox, and right on the other side of this magnificent opening video, we'll get into all that and then some. How about that?
Let's do it. Absolutely.
Put up the bullets.
All righty, we're back in here. Bring in the energy. Karachi,
I'm
home of the World Series champions of 2023.
Are you sure you got energy? Because you don't seem like the same Karachi to me. Like,
I was a little bit down.
What's going on? You're usually pretty hyped up.
Yeah, no, it's been a long week. You know, you gotta pace yourself, and if you're not pacing yourself, you should really grab some caffeine. Am I right?
Well, you should drink a lot of caffeine. And if it's from Brooklyn, let me tell you something. I'm from Brooklyn, and I'm a lot of caffeine. There's a lot of caffeine in this guy. So Brooklyn Water Coffee Company, man, that's the place to get some caffeine. Do it up. Do it up, people.
Different flavors. Dark chocolate is my favorite. You like the Cinnabuzz. There's just a ton of variety to get you hopped up.
Dude, I like variety, man. Just like I like variety in life, I like variety in my coffee. And I will love to have some coffee right now. But right now, even though we want coffee, we still have
whiskey. Yes.
Well, I have something that I'm not going to name, but I have something.
Cheers. Cheers to the something. Always good.
Cheers to the something.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, let's start off with last week with the All-Star game. Big Pete in the Home Run Derby. Up against the hometown boy. You know,
what a setup.
Scripted any better?
Come on, man. Come on. Why are you gonna? He barely gets in, and then they're gonna set him up to look like the evil villain. Because if he beats this guy. Even though this guy was a Rodriguez, I wasn't pulling for him. I was always pulling for Polar Bear after he beats him, and then I have to go Rodriguez because it didn't matter anyway. But dang, you're gonna make our guy look like a villain by beating this guy. You know, Whatever. Just he shouldn't even gone. Just he should have just rested, man, and chilled out and relaxed. What's the deal? I mean, honestly,
it's the competitiveness in him that he wants to go out absolutely. And I feel like since he won that first one and he hyped it up and, you know, the attitude and the swag that went along with it, I feel like he feels like he needs to be there, you know?
Yeah,
not like in the NBA where they don't have like the big stars in the slam dunk contest.
They always take it. They always take those games off because the big stars know that the season really matters more anyway. Let's not say anything about that. However, Big Pete, factually, is still the number one home run hitter in baseball, isn't he?
No, I believe
Don't tell me Ohtani's beat him. He's got more. He doesn't have more home runs than Pete. He may have more home runs this year, but I don't know if he has more home runs than Pete since he came up.
I thought you meant this year. Yeah, okay. So since he came up.
Came up, he's the number one guy. So at the end of the day, he's still the number one home run hitter in all of baseball for the last, what, 3 or 4 years. Whatever the case may be, Ohtani, you cost a lot of money. I'm really debating wanting you on this team, guy. And I don't want to get into it, Farachi, because you and I are probably going to have a fight. I know that you want this guy bad on the team. And being a Metsy, I'll kill anybody to get him on the team. You know, pretty much I'll baby seals. You're all done for. You're extinct. If I have to kill every baby seal to get Ohtani on the team, we're clubbing him to death. I'll tell you that right now. What my real baseball guy says, not a good move at this stage, even though he's such a stud. I just pray that Batty becomes that lefty guy behind Pete. And I know I might be rushing this topic a little bit, but I was talking with my cousin Maxie, which in itself can make you crazy. My cousin Maxie. he wants to trade the whole team for Ohtani. The whole team, everybody, including even Pete, he'll trade everybody. He doesn't care. Oh my God. He doesn't care. He'll have him play every position. My cousin Max is nuts.
Bugs Bunny.
But he makes a good point that we do need a few things. And in my little opinion, I think we need a big guy behind Pete. Not a fat guy, because that was a mistake. We need a big time hitter.
I think we've had enough of that.
Yeah, we had enough of that. And there's a guy that's going to be available that, man, would I love to see him in New York roaming the outfield. And, you know, that guy, he's on a team called the Los Padres. He plays the outfield. He's a lefty hitter. Okay. He's got a lot of pop, and he loves New York. And there's a huge population of people in New York that would love to have him, Metsies and dumb Innikins included. There's a ton of them everywhere. I mean, I'm not gonna say his name because it's tampering, and I don't want your Uncle Steve to get mad at me and say that I've done something wrong. But that's the guy that if I'm signing, and I want to spend money, I'm going to get that guy. Even if he doesn't pitch, I'm gonna get that guy. That's the guy that if he's behind Pete, dude, I would be a very happy Metsy.
You have in my mind a Lindor, Pete, and insert name here.
Holy cow! Would you dig that or what? I mean, and then you got that little chubby midget that we have catching, and then you have you have Brett Batty.
Leads all major league catchers in home runs. By the way, surprise, surprise. And he's tied for first in home runs of all rookies.
And he's got 40 RBIs, 40 plus RBIs. So, I mean,
17 and over 40.
Bring a guy in that hits home runs and drives in runs. I mean, come on. What are you going to do? And even though I don't like the fact that he catches a one knee, because that's a lazy way to catch. And I'm telling you that from experience. Because when I caught, that's the same exact way I caught. Because it's tiring, bro. It's tiring.
No, that's nuts.
You get tired. And staying on that one knee. get a chair. Good Lord, I wanted a chair so bad.
Like, you know, Costanza with the security guard.
Oh my God. Listen, his whole the funniest part was that he was a skanky guy, but it was Jerry Seinfeld kind of ribbing it, giving it to the Yankees a little bit, you know, which I do appreciate, you know. And did you hear something about the skankies? I heard that they cheated recently. Is that true, Barachi? Because I can't believe it.
Well, you know, we can neither confirm or deny, but
they cheated. What?
Yeah. But there's some video evidence now that they're showing about guys not staying in the coach's box, which is there for a reason because of the angle at which you cannot look into signs and stuff.
Exactly.
That's the reason behind it, guys. So.
Go on. Let the fans know that the coach's box they should be staying in that little square, okay?
So and one of them is your buddy, your boy.
My buddy.
Former manager of the Metropolitan.
Well, here's the funny part. He was too stupid to cheat. The other guy, it was the first base coach that was actually cheating. So for all you Skanky fans that don't know, the first base coach of the Skankies was out of the box. So was the third base coach, who used to be our coach. And he's looking at the pitcher and relaying the sign to Aaron Judge, because you see Aaron Judge at bat just looks that way and gets the signs and said, oh, he's going to throw me a fastball. Oh, wow. I'm only 6'7", 280 pounds. I need a little help. Why? I mean, what is that about?
And to hit one 580 feet.
To hit one, yeah, because he could probably only hit it 470 feet. You know, poor guy. Or strike out.
The thing with this is that that video was the first time I saw the coaching part aspect of the video. Before that, all that I had seen and that I knew of was just him looking over and then them showing the dugout and nothing was happening. So it was like, okay, maybe they're making too much of this.
Mm-hmm.
Get it together, guys. Get it together.
Get it. Come on. Come on. You're in last place. You know, what's the big deal? Did I enjoy saying that so much?
I think you did.
Farachi, say it, Farachi. Say it with me, Farachi.
Yankees are
in last place. Yeah. I don't want to be happy about someone else's misery, but I do. And they still have a better record than us. That's the funny part. It's such a tough division that they have a better record than us. They're over 500 and they're still in last place.
Yeah.
So that deal with the devil, that sign that you got, that little signature that you guys put there, man, that signature's evaporating.
It's running out.
It's running out. So you better make a new deal with the devil, guys. A new deal with the devil is due. Let's go.
All right, Randy gets us into what could be our next topic here. What's going on, Craig? So Randy says, what do you think about today's starting pitcher? So it's Jose Quintana making his Met debut after, what was it? He had a rib, it was a really serious deal with his rib thing for a while. But then anyway, so he goes through the rehab and then he winds up with the flu, dehydration and all this stuff. So they push him back to today. And he gives up.
You take care of yourself and you're going to the rehab? Why?
Freaking guy. I didn't see much of the start. I saw that he went the efficient five innings, giving up two runs. For those of you listening on audio, I did the air quotes there. That was air quotes time for that.
Yeah. No.
Hey, Diana.
You heard them. You can hear them a mile away, those air quotes.
So, but what was your five perspective?
Fantastic! All of a sudden, but you did two runs. But,
yeah,
that's basically it, dude. You did your job. You came in. You pitched five innings. You put the game in the hands of Drew Smith. Thank you, Quintana. That's a wonderful thing. I'm not even going to get to Drew Smith just yet. But let's just say Quintana gave up two runs, five innings. To me, that's adequate with the offense that we're supposed to have. even though our offensive players are dropping like flies, you know, and some of them should be dropped like a fly or like an elephant. But that's these are the things that make you lose games. You know, you got to make key decisions during a game. And if you really, can I just say another thing real quick? Because honestly, the Dodger games, the Dodger series, I watched the series and I told you I was pissed off because I think Hefner lost the first game for us. The coaching lost the first game. I don't know why they see Verlander out there struggling, trying to move fast and stuff and pitch fast and get through the game. And they let him load the bases up.
Such an just aggravating inning.
Just like they did today, bro. They let this guy, Drew Smith, load the bases up. Because I don't care how hard you throw, and you're only throwing 95, which at the end of the day right now is very hittable. A 95-mile-per-hour flat fastball. Flat. And you just throw it in the same spot. See, producer Joe agrees. You know, either that or he just had a bowel movement. One of those two.
So congratulations.
Congratulations on either or. it was a bowel movement, yeah, guys. Sorry about that. But we're just losing games. We shouldn't lose games on coaching, especially when we had Buck there. He's got us Hefner. If you're afraid of talking to these Cy Young guys, you shouldn't be a coach. Get Phil Regan back. He's 99 years old. He don't give a rat's ass about who he talks to. He'll go out there and talk about 1925. It doesn't matter. As long as he goes out there and slows down Verlander. If you notice, Verlander pitched very well when he was in control, slowed himself down a little bit, and picked his spots. It's all about not hurrying yourself. And even though you're a pro, sometimes you're just a human being, man. Sometimes you're in it. And you're trying to get yourself, through it, and you're discombobulated. You know, you're just out of sorts. That's what the pitching coach is there for, really. Get out there, talk the guy down, calm him down a little bit. You do that with Verlander, give him a chance to catch his breath, you know, because he's really trying and trying to bring the team up, puts it on his shoulders, all that pressure. You slow the guy down a little bit, he'll perform better, just like he did the other day. I mean, he was fantastic. That Dodger game, we could have won if he just goes another couple of innings and controls himself. You know, the first two games, we could have won. I mean, yeah. You know, then they end up beating the daylights out of us for mistakes. I'm assuming producer Joe's coming on.
Shut
yeah, producer
up!
Joe's.
Oh, sorry. I had my finger over that getting ready because you were going on for like 20 minutes or something.
You haven't been on air for 20 minutes yet. You see what you do.
I look at that face. That face says, you know, I'd slap you if we were sitting in front of you.
Frederick is like,
yeah, you're a tough guy from all the way over there on the internet.
He is, isn't he?
That's a fact, Jack.
Yeah, we know that, our role.
That's okay. I know.
Well, so speaking of that game with Verlander, when he walked three straight hitters, and I agree with you that there's got to be more emphasis on getting out there, giving him a moment, especially during these times where, you know, what would have happened before the pitch clock if somebody had walked two guys in a row. He would have taken maybe a stroll around the mound, got the rosin going, stretched it out a little bit. You know, now that doesn't happen. So especially the older pitchers, even if they don't need a talking to, like, go out there and just let the umpire stop the meeting and give him that little 30-second break to catch his breath. He's just walked two guys in a row. Get out there. Like, know the rules and use them to the advantage. You give him a break just by using one of your mound visits.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could even take Buck to task for that, to be honest, because Buck should have said, Hefner, get your butt out there. Get yourself out there and deal with this right now. And I don't care if you Verlander, Scherzer, Tom Seaver, whoever you are, you sometimes you're a human being and you just need to be, you know, spoken to and just take a chill pill. That's all. Take a chill pill.
Plus, you know, he's throwing what do they call those pitches? High stress pitches during that time. He's older, you know, and when you get flustered out on the mound, you're already amped up, and now you're getting flustered on top of it. Can't catch your breath. Mm. Come on, Hef. You just made me very angry at Hef.
You should very be angry. Very angry because
I was.
And I was mad at him today, too. I was mad at him today, too, for letting this Drew Smith guy go out there. Just go out there, slap this kid around and say, if you throw another fastball down the middle, you're going to the minors. I don't care if we got to bring up, you know, Justin Bartholomew. I don't care. I'm making up a name. I don't care. But bring up whoever you want to bring up. But come on, dude. Coach. You're getting paid to coach, Hefner. You're getting paid to coach, Buck. Buck, just slap these guys around, man. You're an old dude. Just being friendly to these guys. At the end of the day, after a while, it just gets old, man. You have to assert your authority like Cartman does. You know, just...
You will respect my authority.
You should. Somebody's got to respect something. You know, and we can't lose games by coaching. That should not happen.
Especially on something so simple. But
it's a simple thing.
So let's take a step back because we were talking about Pete a little bit before. Mm-hmm. Do you think he's still injured? Number one, because he's not hit for any average since he's come back. There's been some couple 2-3 home runs here and there, but and if that is the explanation for it, because he looks lost, the hard contact is not there as often these days over the last like month and a half. And if he is hurt, what the hell was he doing at the home run derby?
Well, I don't even know if it's that much, dude. Look at today's game, right? He got a single and he drove in Nimmo, right?
I have not seen any highlights from today's
game. So I think that's what he did today. But if you look at the way he did that, and you look at his front foot, and now producer Joe's going to get all upset at me again. But here's the thing. If you look at his front foot, straight out, it's going to take me off. Because he doesn't want to learn anything. He wants to stay stupid his whole life. You know?
That's right. That's right. That's right. I'm happy, in my ignorance. Yeah, I'm happy in my stupidity.
You should be. Wow. Every time you look in the mirror, you should be happy.
Somebody is.
So check it out. If you saw that he got that hit, but he got the hit off the end of the bat, dude. He got the hit off the end. He didn't go towards the ball. His stride wasn't at the ball, so he wasn't making hard contact to it. It was just a little base hit that he hit at the end of the bat. You could see it in the swing, and that's been his problem all along. When he goes into a slump, he doesn't go at the ball. He takes his stride, no matter where the ball is, he takes his stride and he expects to power it. He expects to hit it a mile, even though he's not going to get a good wood on it. So it's just about slowing himself down again a little bit and just remembering that hit towards the ball. Take your stride towards the ball. Drive the ball where you want to drive. Drive to right field. He hits home runs easily, so just drive the ball hard. Break the first baseman's hand when you hit the ball at him. Knock him down. Do whatever, but you got to stride towards the ball. And today was a good example of why he's in a slump. It was a hit, but it wasn't a very, let's say, Pete Alonso type of hit where he drills that ball and he smashes it. You just got to look at his front foot and the way he's batting, and you'll see. He'll get out of that because he's a 250, 270 hitter in there. So when he starts to drive the ball again, you'll see his average start to climb, and his hits will come up. It doesn't look
five in the zero. Give me a 250. Wow.
His stride
and yeah. My god, if a pitcher gets two strikes on him, they're throwing him the slider off the plate and he's flailing at it. So
he should try and make them come to him a little bit more. He reaches a lot. Like when he swings at the ball, a lot of times he's very low to the ground. And he's reaching for the ball. He's playing into their hands, you know, because I wouldn't pitch him inside unless I come in high and tight and I throw 96, I can get him. But if I'm not gonna come inside anywhere around the letters to the knees. I'm not coming inside on Pete Alonso. He'll smash me, you know? Yeah. He'll smash anybody. So you have to play smart. You throw him off speed stuff outside, and he likes to reach for it because he fancies himself a hitter. However, when you're striding straight up and you're reaching all the way down, you never get to the ball.
Isn't it weird how, like, Pete and Marte and most of the team, you know, they pull away the shift and they expected averages to go up, and you know, guys like McNeil, who didn't have a problem with the shift, mm-hmm. are having a problem with no shift, you know, and that's a big drop off in Pete in McNeil in the Squirrels batting average. Oof.
Good Lord.
I don't know. I mean, I still see him trying to slap the ball the other way. I still see him, you know, trying to be a hitter. You know, sometimes it doesn't fall for him, but other times he hits the ball hard, but he just hits it at people, you know. So those type of things are tough, and you just have to play through them, you know. I believe in the Pete Rose style of hitting, you know. If I'm in a Pete Rose calls a lull. He doesn't call it a song. Yeah. He calls it a lull.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're in a lull, you don't change your swing. Don't change the way you swing. Just move yourself up, move yourself back, move yourself front, move yourself back. You know, just move around the plate.
Because
it's just timing. And you know what they're trying to throw you. Like Pete, they're throwing you outside, Pete. Okay. Position yourself a little bit with your feet towards the outside. You can still get that inside fastball. You can still pull it and drive it, but you can take that outside pitch and smash it. So there's just different philosophies, and sometimes these guys get too much in their heads about their swing when it's just one simple little adjustment, high, low, inside, out. And next thing you know, you're smashing the ball. And it's that much of a difference, Barati, that much of a difference on a bat. And it's either a home run, a double, triple, or an out.
Yeah. So, You could be right on the ball and hit it straight back.
You could absolutely, and you could be and you could hit the ball like a missile.
And it's this much.
And it's that much, right? And you hit it right at somebody and they catch it, but you made good contact. So yes. That's part of the game too.
Baseball.
Looking at how these guys are hitting. Yeah, it's
stupid
so easy.
Sport.
It's so stupid. Easy. It's right
all right,
the
well,
middle, guys.
Yeah, and it's always the ball's just straight every time.
Never moves.
All right. Speaking of swings and some nice swings, back to back days with home runs from Mr. Beatty over the third. I believe we have a video, producer Joe. If you want to nail that, throw that bad boy up on there.
Runs with Francisco Alvarez, and he drives this one to center field. That's well hit. Back goes Robert to the warning track at the wall. It's out of here. Brett Beatty homers in back-to-back games. The first hit in this game is a Beatty home run, and the Mets lead it 1-0. Number 7 for Brett Beatty.
Look at that.
All right, and Rodriguez earlier compared Beatty to another player, and I absolutely 1,000% see it. In the swing. Go ahead, Rodriguez.
You can absolutely see it. I mean, I don't like to talk about this guy. And the only reason I ever even had an inkling of respect for him was because we used to have a pitcher on our team who's a traitor that used to have a good friendship with him. But now that he's a traitor, I don't even respect either one of them. However, he does swing like Freeman. And I would love for him to turn out to be a hitter like Freeman. You could see it in the swing. He's got this basically the same style, he's the same height, he's got the same build. And the swings that he's taken lately are swings that he's not trying to overpower the ball. He's not trying to pull everything. He's not trying to dominate the ball. Wherever the ball is, being 6'2" or 3 or whatever he is, because he's a pretty tall guy, he can reach all over the plate. So anything outside, if he just strides at the ball and goes where the ball is pitched and hits it, he's going to hit it with a good part of the wood. And he's got lots of power, dude. See how easy he hit the ball 420 feet? Now, for people that think this is easy, 420 feet is dead center, and he hit both balls right out there, man. He smoked it easy.
The night before was into the Apple Black.
He smashed these balls, and it sounds kind of creepy, but he hit he hit the baseball as well.
That's gonna be up underneath your name there in a second.
That
I'm
might
sure.
Be, I'm pretty sure that he likes to smack balls. Will be my new pseudonym. You know, but
there it is.
It wasn't too hard. It wasn't too hard from the dancing queen. So I think let Batty play. Let him play third base all year. Did you see the fantastic defensive play he made?
Yes,
that was well done, dude. Well done. And that good first baseman that we have, you know, he's pretty good defensively nowadays. You know, he wasn't good at one time. He was like all over the place. But nowadays, that dude can play some good defense at first base. And with Batty at third, him at first, if Batty could be the guy, could be that left-handed bat, there's so much potential. There's on this team.
Vogel Fatty.
It's scary, man. Vogel Fat. Oh, my God.
All right, let's go the opposite
of
Bogey.
Well done.
Let's go to the opposite of
why.
Bogey.
What is it about this team that there has to be one bleeding it jerk that we have to hate every year? 2 years ago, Jed Lowrie. Last year, Darren Ruff, and now we got Vogel Fat. I mean, it's like, do they keep somebody
for,
there?
For you, don't forget about McCann.
Oh, did you see? I did forget about my kid. and I liked it. No, it just seems like, I don't know, man. I mean, we hated Cespedes after 2015. It seems like one guy a year is like the poison to the team. Don't tell me Vogel Fat isn't poison on this team. He's every fan I look at on Twitter. He must be a good clubhouse presence because every fan hates him. I don't think there's any fan that wants him on the team anymore.
Cleaning crew loves him because he eats up all the leftovers.
Well, yeah, no, the buffet table isn't a fan. Yeah. But
wow.
All right, I'm done. I'm sorry. You brought Vogel Fat out. I couldn't help Ben. I couldn't help it, man. It's like I hear his name. I see him come up to the plate, and nothing infuriates me more than seeing him get a home run. I'm like, oh, he just locked himself in for a month. You know, Buck loves him. For a month.
I know.
You know? And then the second most frustrating thing is watching him swing wildly, stand up there with the bat on his shoulder, chewing the gum like, I'm going to swing at that slider. Just throw the slider. I'll swing at it. Don't worry. There he is. Look, there's Bogey. And then as the pitch comes in, just drop the bat on your shoulder. Yeah, no, I'm not swinging at that strike. That's a meatball. No,
I can't reach that. I
have a good eye.
That's a 90-mile-an-hour meatball. No, man, I'm waiting for the 87-mile-an-hour slider that's 3 inches off the plate, you know?
That I can't hit.
Why are you – okay, I'm done. I'm done.
All right, so opposite of Bogey is – Mark Vientos will be coming. My mom is a Vogue empathizer, I guess.
Apparently, I take it back. There is one Vogue fan. There it is. There's a Vogue fan.
I think she just feels sad. She's a mom, and she just feels
what it is. Yeah,
because you know, I've heard Farachi's mom just tear into people. Trust me, she's not gonna love him that much. You know, it's just that we abuse him, but he deserves
and one
it.
Of the, I was gonna say that. I was gonna say the underdog thing. He's a very, 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 very big underdog. One guy that she will be happy about, well, as happy as you can be for somebody being hurt, is Marte, who. Today, so he's takes fielding fly balls this morning. He says, "Yeah, I should be able to go tomorrow." 3 hours later, he's on the IL. Migraines are no joke.
Where he should have been for the last 2 months because he's been playing hurt all year. He said it himself. I'm still playing hurt.
That side, yeah, that surgery that he had.
Yeah,
It's not like you have guys that can come in and play for him. It's not like you have.
He's very angry.
Like no.
There's none of that.
Well, guess what?
There's no.
Now there is a Vientos.
Did Vientos get called up?
Vientos is getting called up. We'll meet the team in Boston. Exactly. That's exactly where I'm going with this thing. He has to play. He can't play every third game and then, you know, go 0-2, 0-3, and then the fans get on him.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He has to play every day. He needs at bats.
Exact same thing with Alvarez. Look at it. We saw it happen. We saw that exact thing.
Alvarez and Beatty.
Both of them. The two of them. Exactly Beatty, correct. Yeah. Right. The first 2 months, everybody was like, oh, look at these kids. They're not ready. They need to play every day. Get accustomed to the big league speed of the game, the whole thing, you know.
Alvarez was being held behind Tomas Nito.
Yeah. Do you remember Alvarez? Yeah, it was backup.
It wasn't on Nito. I mean, no. Honestly, they wanted to give the kid more bats in the minors and see if it was ready, but because Nito's not keeping anybody down. Even vocal fat
makes Nito look bad.
I know. Think about that. So
Nito makes vocal fat look good. No, I went too far. No.
Oh, he's coming after you. All right. So Vientos, obviously he's got to play. And there's a spot for him. There's two corner outfield spots that are, I'm not sure exactly what's going on with Pham. I don't know if he re-aggravated the groin or what exactly it was.
He did. Okay.
Yeah. So came back too soon.
So
you got two corner outfield positions open, right? Marte's out. Pham's out. Vientos better be playing every single day.
Put him in right field. Put him in right field. That's all you got to do. Let McNeil go back to second base and bring in Guillorme at the end of the game for defense at third, at second, at wherever. Even at short. Get wherever he can play. But stop it already. McNeil almost killed himself today. Okay.
Five
more feet. He smashes his face at the bottom of the outfield wall.
Did I miss it? Did you guys already talk about Drew Smith, or did I catch that? Am I in time for that? Are we going to talk about Drew Smith?
We're going to have a Drew Smith segment.
You can absolutely.
You're happy to chime in.
No, I'm just saying
we can have another Drew Smith segment. I mean, you know, it's up to you.
Say what you got to say.
What the hell is he doing on our roster, man? What the hell is he doing on any major league roster? What the hell is Buck thinking in a 2-1 game? In a 2-1 game? Look, man, we're losing 6-1. That's when Drew Smith comes in. Drew comes in when it's 6-1 and you gave up on the game, man. Drew's the last guy you put in before fucking Lindor pitches. You know? I mean... All right, I'm done.
He's been complete trash since the suspension.
I lost my cool and I said a dirty word. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Teach him an off-speed pitch that matters. Okay? Teach him something that he can throw over the plate that's off-speed.
It just blows my mind that Buck called for him in a 2-1 game. I don't get that. I mean,
everybody's fresh.
Any single guy out of the pen except him.
No,
I take that back.
Everybody
that,
wasn't
that
fresh.
Clown from 2 nights ago. What was his name? Got 3 nights ago.
Yeah, got.
Yeah,
we got Got.
He pitched today.
Did he really? I bet he didn't do as bad as Drew Smith.
He did not.
Nobody did.
Well, Drew left, and it was. Drew gave up. Did he give up three or all four of the additional runs?
Four. Okay. 2-1, he comes in, and then next thing you know, it's 6-1. Fast.
Oh, yeah. I was looking forward to this podcast just to talk about Drew Smith. I guess. Two-thirds. He got two outs. He got two-thirds of an inning, three hits, one walk, four runs. All four of them scored. Only one earned. And oh, wait, he got a
strikeout. Oh, was that a I heard something about a Pete error.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right error. Pete Alonso, number five.
You know, that error, it doesn't matter that error, dude, because he got a hit and then he walked the next guy. He lets the guy get a hit, then he walks the next guy, and then the next guy smashes him because he decides to throw his unique, what's that? Farachi. What's that guy's name that I hate still? I still hate this guy. The guy.
That doesn't narrow it down when it comes to you.
It doesn't narrow it down.
I hate this guy. Well, that cuts it down to 703. So. Narrow it down. Joe, current player? Oh, it's only 62. Okay.
Current player. Joe, the guy that played with us last year, he decided he throws 94 mile an hour fastball to everybody and think he could blow it by them.
Oh, the Italian.
May.
No, Trevor May?
Trevor May?
Was it Trevor?
Oh, wait, was the Italian guy?
Yeah, Trevor something guy. Trevor May.
Well, there was Trevor May.
Trevor May, that guy.
Like that. Yeah.
He's in the Trevor May School. Trevor May School of Crap, okay? Let me just throw this cheap-ass fastball straight. Let me throw that little cheap, fastball down the middle and see, they're not going to hit it because I'm Trevor May. Okay, Trevor May. Your podcast didn't help you, Trevor May. Okay? Every opinion you had, all those little things didn't help you. You suck, and you taught Drew Smith to suck. Drew Smith, go to the Angels. All right, see ya. Trade him. Trade him for Jared Kalanick. Trade him for a cap for Kalanick, even though Kalanick has got a broken leg and you know, give him a bag of balls and another bat and maybe some chewing tobacco. Get rid of Drew Smith. I don't know.
Did that make Met fans happy today? Not that he got hurt, but the way that he got hurt, Kalanick? Because, you know, there's still all these people that, why would you
Kalanick? No, man. Come on. No. That's...
Only you.
You know, Jake DeGrom, I've got some schadenfreude, but Kalanick, man, he's a good kid. It's not his fault that the Mets messed up. See, I almost dropped another F-bomb. No, it's not his fault the Mets blew it. You're happy he got hurt? Really? Really?
Who, DeGrom?
No,
we're talking about Kalanick.
No, I'm not happy about Kalanick.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not happy. I'm not happy he got hurt. I'm just, it's hilarious how he got hurt. You're getting all pissed off, want to kick stuff like Paul O'Neill.
Was that what happened? Hissy fit. He did it himself?
Yes.
Like O'Neill with the Gatorade container? Yeah.
He kicked. A water cooler, and he broke
a cooler
freaking...
also.
Yes.
Oh man, that's funny. And what, he bust his ankle foot?
Yeah, he broke something. He's out.
That's beautiful. Okay, you know something? I take some joy in that.
There's some joy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna get.
How about this?
Privately fine. Yeah.
How about this transition? How about this movement here? Jared Kalanick was traded for Edwin Diaz. Edwin Diaz? Is he?
Dude.
We haven't heard that all year.
Oh, damn
man.
Good to hear.
You know, yeah. I missed that. Yeah, I missed that too.
I can't wait.
You got your insiders. How's he doing?
Speaking of Puerto Rico, yeah, my cousin went over there to check him out, make sure that he was all right. You know, the guy's doing well. Exactly. He's ready, man. He's starting to pitch. He's throwing from 150 feet. It looks like he's throwing free and easy. I was watching him, and his knee, ankle, legs, everything looks good, dude. I'm expecting him back within a month, unless the Mets say, hey, let's not let him pitch, you know. But if we're in the throes of the playoffs and that sucker's ready, he needs to come back. So what? Mid-September. If we're in it, he's got to come back. Because him and David Robertson, oh my God.
Oh,
would that
forget,
be?
Yeah, man. Then you only need seven out of your starter, which is a reasonable expectation, and you got the game locked down. And I don't care. I'm playing it again.
Woo!
I would put on my camera so you could see me dancing, but you know, this is a PG. The show is PG.
All right. So he comes back. Let's say we're a handful of games out of the wild card. Obviously because the division is out of control. But that immediately shortens the game, right? Then you don't have to necessarily use anybody named Drew Smith.
Or somebody named God.
Right. Yeah.
He ain't got it.
Maybe you can use Otto. Otto's been looking better lately. So yeah, you know, there's a couple of guys you can lean on.
But the problem with Ottavino is that if he walks somebody or for somebody gets a base hit, they're stealing second immediately.
He can't hold a runner to save his life.
Dude, the rules are made for stealing second. They're made for offense now. If the pitcher can only throw to first base twice, then he has to deliver to the plate. That's a gimme base. These fast major leaguers should be stealing a lot more now. Just make the guy throw to first base. Yeah. And he's not going to want to throw again. And if he does throw again, that's all he can do. And then you can get a lead. He can run at you, but he can't throw the ball. He can't throw first. It should be easy to steal now.
So after two throws over, they can throw it to first a third time. However, if they don't pick him off, then it's a balk.
They're not throwing a third time. 99% of them are not going to throw a third time.
I got some interesting stats on Otto.
Yes.
With the bases empty, they're hitting 238 against them. You know, that's pretty much the league average, I guess. Runner at first, that goes up to 273. Now, you get a runner on second, 158. Runner on third, 200. But you get bases loaded, they're hitting 333. He doesn't do well with runners on base. In the eighth inning, they're hitting 293 against him. But in the ninth, 154. I don't know. What is he?
It's situation. It's situational. And Ottavino has a really nasty slider and then a lot of nasty movement. So I don't think he throws that pitch with men on base as much, which he should, because that pitch is almost unhittable. You guys have seen him online when he throws that pitch and the way it moves over the plate. Sometimes the catcher even misses it. You know, and I guess he becomes a little shy when there's men on base, so he doesn't want to throw the ball away. But I would still throw it. I throw it right at the batter. That's my pitch. I throw the pitch right at the batter, and the batter backs up, comes right in. Just do it. You know, it's situational, but, you know, I like Ottavino in the eighth inning. And I like Robertson. Seventh, eighth, and ninth. Ottavino, Robertson, and Diaz.
Dude, just give me six innings.
Just give me six. Just give me six innings. And if you got Verlander and Scherzer and Senga and these guys just on their game, it's 7-8 innings. Senga, give him a little spot here, man. Give him 2 seconds of love. Senga is pitching very, very well, and he's learning how to pitch in the majors and being aggressive.
His control is getting better.
You know, his control is getting better.
Did you hear that story about what he did to get himself comfortable with the American baseball, because they're different? So he carried a baseball all day long. If he wasn't sleeping, he was gripping a baseball because of the size.
I used
size
to do that
difference.
When I was a kid too. Yeah, I used to do that when I was a kid to try to stretch out my fingers. So when I was a kid, I used to carry the baseball around, just throw it out. It's smart thing to do. Isn't the Japanese baseball smaller?
It's smaller.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And that's why they
little
predicted
Japanese hands, you know, little Japanese hands. I'm not saying that.
No, they did predict that he would have some control issues coming over here because of the size of the ball.
Are we on a train station? Are we on a train station platform or something? What's going on?
I don't know. Joe, is that a ding, ding, ding back there?
Yeah, no, my trolley just arrived. Hang on.
Trolley arrived. Ding, ding, ding with the trolley. Susan said, not good under pressure. I saw that for, you know, the thing with Ottavino was that he's never held runners on very well anyway. And then, like what Rodriguez said, they changed the rules have switched up. It's easier for guys to steal. And that was the same issue that Senga actually has a nice little move over to first. I think he's not too bad holding the runners. But for Senga, for whatever you want to say about any other players, got to talk about Senga now being relatively inexpensive for what he's delivered so far. 1 year in the league, all-star, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a sub-2 ERA at home.
He's our youngest starter, right? And he's 30 years old.
That ghost, yes. And the ghost pitch is nasty. When it's on, it's absolutely disgusting.
And he throws 96, 97, okay? And then the ghost pitch is basically a changeup that dips down. It's so hard to hit that. So hard to be ready for that.
That's the other difference. And we talked about this with the scandal, I think, end of last year. It's got tack on it. So in Japan, they, in the factory, they put grip on it. Mm-hmm. So then there's no need to mess around. What's illegal? What's not legal? So that's pretty smart on their end. Right. So those are the two different. So it's smaller and you can get a better grip on it. So now
six,
it's coming to the United States with a bigger ball and shinier.
The Japanese baseball is 0.6 centimeters smaller, which seems minuscule, but I'm sure holding a baseball and pitching makes a big difference. But 22.9 for a Japanese baseball, 23.5 for a major league baseball, and a 7-gram
difference
in weight. No, I know it sounds minuscule, but I'm sure it makes a huge difference to a pitcher. Yeah. And the 7 grams isn't that insignificant either, 141 grams versus 148. So,
yeah, yep. weight, and everything. Everything matters. Yeah. Every little bit matters. And if it's tactified, you don't have to put it in that crazy mud that they say American baseball is put in to get it ready and all that nonsense. It's even easier to throw a spinner. I mean, the spinner. I don't like to feel the ball sticky in my hand.
We're all very mature on the show. I promise you.
No, we're not. We're not. Don't let the gray hair fool you. Not at all. But it feels different. I played baseball, and when you throw a ball that maybe even have a little bit of stickum on it, it just does a lot. Does different movement, comes off your hand differently, you know. And if you're holding one ball in this hand and one ball in the other, you feel the difference, you know?
Yeah. Joe knows all about that.
He sure does.
All right. Let's. I want to kind of get into what the schedule looks like over the next several days here before we get wrapped up. Mm-hmm. So after tonight or today's game, we get shipped off to Boston. Boston is next up. All right, so Mets, Red Sox, Fenway. Senga goes tomorrow, 7-5, 3.20 ERA against Crawford, 4-4, 3.74 ERA. What do we got? Saturday we got Mad Max. Got a little Mad Max action, 8-3, 3.99 ERA. Finally got that ERA down below 4 against Paxton, who's solid pitcher. He's pitched Yankees, Mariners, been a solid guy. 5-2, 3.51 ERA. And then Sunday, it's Cookie. It's Cookie Day on Sunday against Cookie TBD, the most popular pitcher in baseball, TBD.
TBD is going to lose. I hate that guy anyway. He sucks.
He sucks.
We should take 2 out of 3 from them, man. We're good enough, and if we start clicking on all cylinders, and Buck forgets about these veterans that have nothing else to live for, he starts playing the rookies a little more. Listen, I think we can definitely do 2 out of 3, if not sweep the Red Sox.
Play the rookies, baby. Yeah, I think 2 out of 3. Yeah, listen, the other thing is that these guys need to start, you know, they need to play with that chip on their shoulders, something to, you know, these next two, 3 weeks wow. is going to determine, not even 2, 3 weeks, less than 2 weeks, is going to determine whether things even matter, you know. George says need a 5-game win streak would be fantastic. 5 out of 7 would be great also. So I'm going to say 2 out of 3 also, but heading after the Red Sox to get Monday off and then a 2-game set with the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. No pitching matchups are showing up for there, but this is going to be, you know, the first game is also on TBS. So, you know, the national audience is going to get, these two New York teams are supposed to be battling to get to the World Series together and look at their records and all this stuff, except for Ronnie Darling.
You
better,
what's going to make that game really exciting, right? Is when Pete Alonso punches Aaron Judge in his horse mouth. And when he does that, then it's going to be a real exciting series in the rest of the year. Because these guys, somebody needs to be afraid of us, and we might as well start with the Skankies. It doesn't matter.
Mr. Ed.
I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what my New York friends say. I don't care about it. If the Mets are tough and the Mets start brawling and acting like they got big cojones, the league will start shutting them, shying away, and we'll start winning games again.
Cojones.
It's all about that. It's all about just being an aggressive douche. Why not?
Mega douche.
Mega douche. Mets a douche.
All right. So what do you got? Mets. It's just a 2-game set.
We'll split it, yeah.
Oh, 1-1.
I think we can split it, yeah, 1-1. I mean, they're a good team, dude. 50-45, and they're in last place. Think about it. I mean, they're still a good team, even though they're the devil. You know, they're still a good team.
Did you see their signing from last year, Rodon? He also recently made his debut, and yesterday he gave up 4 runs and 2 innings in Los Angeles against the Angels. And the Yankee fans there let him have it, and he blew kisses to them. So he's endearing himself to those Yankee fans immediately.
That was the right move, Rendon. Do that, Rodon, whatever the hell your name is. Do it again. Go to Yankee Stadium and blow kisses to the fans. See how that's going to work out.
Bad idea.
Please.
All right. Joe, what do you got on – we each got 2 out of 3 for the Red Sox and a split with the Yankees. Where's your mind at here?
We've played to the level of our competition, unfortunately. I think we're going to sweep the Red Sox, and I think we'll split with the Yankees.
I like that. I like that better than our prediction, but we'll see.
Sweep. Call it right now. Sweep.
Just real quick, George says they will not be big sellers either way. I agree. Fam, Canna, Narvaez. I heard that today, and at best, Vogie. I don't know. Vogie's not getting moved. Fam, who knows? He's hurt now. I think he could have brought us, a solid double A. Dude, arm,
They can't move Vogie. That's why they're not going to be able to move him.
Literally.
Okay.
They
cannot get that guy out of the dugout.
Look, I'm a big guy. I can laugh at the fat jokes. It's okay.
I only despise him because he's useless, not because he's fat. Okay, it's not a fat thing.
That's fair.
You're pissing off Mama Farachi. You're pissing off Mama Farachi. You gotta stop.
but he's useless because.
He's useless because he can't bend over.
Because he's useless.
Because he's slightly overweight.
He can't play any position. He can't play a position.
David Ortiz slightly overweight. Wonderful.
There's been guys. Absolutely. Cecil Fielder. Man. His dad.
Cecil, man. He was like a mountain.
Come on.
Did you know that Prince and Cecil Fielder both finished their careers with the exact same number of home runs?
Exactly. It's kind of creepy. It's kind of scary.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Same home runs, and there's a bunch of other stats that they were exactly like, too.
Yeah.
a bunch of them.
Wow. And the son only retired because he had a bad back because he was
700 pounds. Did you see him?
There's stuff linking these things here.
He was running to first base. Bring me the Wookiee.
he did have one of the coolest home run celebrations. that home run celebration where he jumped on home plate and the whole team fell. That was pretty cool.
That wasn't planned. That happened once when he did it, and then they said, well, you know what? We might as well let it happen all the time. You know, they didn't plan that.
That actually happened. It wasn't
that planned. Actually happened the first time.
You see, all right, look, listen, Mama Farachi's getting mad now. We gotta stop.
Y'all are a bunch of fat shamers.
No, Joe's we're a bogey about... shamers. No. Look, I'm as big as Vogey, okay? I'm as big as Vogey. I promise.
You're so late.
We're Vogey shamers, okay?
Vogey shamers. All right. Yeah. Before we continue to become the weasels from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Let's get up on out of here. But Rodriguez, we'll start with you. What you got on the way up on out of here?
I'm telling all our Metsies to be ready. Be ready to cheer. Be ready to go crazy for your Mets. There's something good around the corner. I'm telling you, we're gonna get rid of Vogelfat. We're gonna get rid of a couple other guys. We're gonna add a little bit more pitching. The plan is coming together. The starters are starting to play well. The offense is starting to gear up with the young guys. You know, the bullpen is going to get shortened. We're going to get Diaz back soon. We're getting to be that team that we should have been all year. So let's, you know, cross your fingers, cross your toes, cross your tongue, cross your eyes. I don't care what you do. Cross something, get some luck. But I'm really being optimistic right now. If the plan should come together, if all these guys are healthy and they're playing like they're supposed to. So. Metsies, be ready for a push at the playoffs, man. We're going to be there. And if we're not there, we're going to let the kids play, and I'm going to blame producer Joe for all of it.
I think we should do that anyway.
No, not yet.
Producer Joe, well, before that, the Marlins have lost 6 straight games, so that's a plus.
Wonderful.
Producer Joe.
And the Braves have lost, too. The Braves are losing,
stupid. Like, I have Sandy Alcantara, right? And he just sucks.
Good Lord.
He sucks.
It's not about you. Both of my
leagues. Here we go. Right at the end.
At least, though, he went 6 innings yesterday. You gave him 4 runs in that
first. You know what? You sound like me whining after the first 3 weeks, all right? Think about that. Think about how I sounded after the first 3 weeks. That's what you sound like now, okay? That's what you sound like.
Wow. Is that true?
Wow, you know, a little bit. You should be a little bit offended because he's kind of right. That was weird.
I don't even know what he said.
He said you suck.
That's fair.
And I pretty much said you suck. Okay. Yeah,
that's
much.
Fair. Yeah. Starling Marte, hand in hand, all three out the door. Terzios did not come with a ex-wife joke.
I know, but we're at the door. He didn't have time. He just got you.
Joe. All right, that's fine. Producer Joe, what you got on the way out?
We complain. We moan. We're never going to watch again. We all love them. We love the Mets. We're going to believe. We all believe. Even if you don't want to admit it, you believe we're going to make a run. I know I do. I still have it in the back of my heart. I know I'm waiting for us to make a run. And, you know, regardless, like I said last week, I put Steve to sleep already. I'm done. We put Steve to sleep before Terzio. I know. I put him to sleep before Terzio. Look, man, we love to bitch about them. We love to cheer for them. You know, just enjoy it. You know, don't be so miserable. I mean, just enjoy it and let's make a run.
Rodriguez
it is looking
the
better. You know? It is looking better. You know, Rodriguez is angry, but he's right. You know, and close your eyes, relax, take a deep breath. Count
that
to
could
10
be a good thing
me.
For you because there's a market for that.
Count to 10 with me. 1.
Rodriguez, you okay?
Should I hypnotize him?
What's
now?
Up? Is,
there you go. All right.
Wow.
It's time for work. Time
what
for
happened?
Work.
What happened?
Oh. Yeah, you were like okay, farting yeah. in your sleep, man. I don't know.
Sorry, folks. Didn't mean it.
My ex-wife swinging is. From the vines. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Mom's, my mom says you're catching flies back there. Sleeping.
I'm not.
The soothing tones of producer Joe putting you to sleep. Oh. I will just get take these 5 minutes to.
5 minutes. All right, I'll take it over. That's it.
It's almost like I'm. It's almost come like on, I'm being man. Put to sleep by some boring
wake
voice.
Wake us up.
It's
send almost, us out the door. Wow. Awake, man.
Send us out. Listen, let's do this thing. We're 7 games out of a playoff spot. Stranger things have happened with much less talent than this team has. This team has. You just got your 5 starters healthy. Doing their thing, right? Verlander's been pitching deeper into games, throwing more pitches.
178 ERA. What do you want?
Right? I mean, what are we going to do? And somebody used offense. To call him a washed rag, but Bohan's getting me off time. I'm not even going to mention that. No, don't do that. Get it out of here.
Good
I'll be optimistic
oh my
over here.
God.
There it
oh
is.
My God.
7 games out. Yeah, you could sell those 4 guys that George mentioned earlier. I mean, I prefer to. I mean, what are we going to get?
Fam. Canna, I would keep on the bench.
Yes.
But I have to trade Vogelfat twice because, you know, he's so big. But we just got to get rid of some of this dead weight, man. Got to get rid of it.
With Vientos coming up, he's got to. He's got to be out there every single day. There's still plenty of time. If you're going to sell, it's a small list of who's – because you're not tearing this all down, obviously. This is not a major sell-off like the Nationals have done. And you go after – we'll talk more about this next week right before the deadline. But, you know, start talking about the Ohtani. Ohtani's going to have 5-6 suitors. And, you know, mm-hmm. we'll see if we're one of them or – best case scenario, really quick on the way out.
He's going
best
to the
case
Dodgers.
Scenario, no, actually, they said that the Dodgers would be the last team he would do business with. No, don't do that.
None of that.
Best case scenario is that I heard.
How do you think Vogelfat's on the team?
Wait, I heard that the Rays. We've lost them. I heard the Rays are interested in Ohtani as a rental, and then we just spend the money on him in the offseason.
I'm fine with that, too. I'm fine with buying him. I'm fine with it. We'll buy him in the offseason. We can afford him.
I'm better with that than – I mean, you still try and go get Ohtani. Anyway, Red Sox, Yankees up next in the next 5-game stretch, then the Nationals after that. Let's go, Mets. Producer Joe, get us out of here.
Do it.
Put up the book.